Okay, Mary, can you throw me back the hosting really quick? Do I have it?
Do you know how I do that?
Yes.
Oh boy.
I think I am the host right now.
I think you are the host again.
Okay, cool. Thanks for holding it down. You're the best. All right, let's see if I can do it this time. Yeah. Okay. Real life people. This happens. It's technology. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Raise your hand if you guys can see me. Raise your hand. Can you see me? Can you see me? Can you see me? Okay. You can see my screen as well. Awesome. Okay. So go ahead, everyone, and put your virtual hands down. So I don't get confused. And let's go ahead and get started. I am pumped. I promise this is not the first time I've used Zoom. All righty. I am excited. Let me go ahead and hold on. Make sure I am recording. Okay, I am. Nice. Okay, let's get started. Okay, so the reason why this is an experiment is because one of the hardest things for me, especially at the beginning of making this transition, was what I felt like at the time was relinquishing control, right? At the time, it felt like I had to, because eating my food, my diet food out of my Tupperwares, out of my kitchen, not going to events, not going to people's homes, not traveling, doing all those sort of control mechanisms that I was doing when I was really obsessively dieting, felt like it was keeping me really safe. So when I made the transition to eating more moderately, it kind of felt risky. It felt like, I don't know if I can handle it. I can never control myself around sweets. I don't trust myself around these certain foods. My track record isn't great being around these foods. And so I had to make this like little trusting leap, and it did not feel comfortable. It was like this place of like, oh, I have my control mechanisms over here. This is how I do things. This is my strict dieting rules. And the only other thing I knew was complete binging. And so to come to the middle, we're going to talk about the middle quite a bit tonight. To come to the middle, it felt like, I don't know what that looks like, right? It was kind of like no man's land. I had never been there before. I didn't know what it looks like. And I needed to just this little trusting leap to see if I could do it. And what happened was, over time, over days, over weeks, over months, the things that I was the most scared of happening, like going off the rails, eating with abandon, you know, going to the McDonald's drive-through every, you know, meal, all these kind of things I was so worried about didn't happen. And sure, I had moments where I overindulged a little bit here and there, but the things that I was so scared of actually didn't happen. And so what happened was I started building a show of evidence that I could trust myself around food. And in order for us to start to trust ourselves that we won't go overboard, that we won't eat with abandon, that we won't do all the things we're so scared of, we have to make that little trusting leap. So that's why I call it an experiment. I want to give you guys a super safe place for the next 5 days to be able to practice this, with the deal being that if you absolutely hate it, Jill's, you know, she's wild, she's doing this thing, it's not for me, then you never have to do it again, right? 5 days. So practicing for 5 days, what this could look like, I'm going to have you guys tag me on social media so I can see some of the things that you're doing, some of the meals that you're having and stuff like that. I'll share in a second, so that I can give you feedback and we can kind of have a conversation, because I wish that when I was making that transition, I had someone to learn from as well. I wish that there was someone giving me permission to do that. It took me, like I said, 3 full years. It's going to take you guys a lot less time than that. I didn't have anyone. No one was talking about this stuff back then. Intuitive eating wasn't a thing. So now we're kind of seeing a lot more of this stuff. And so I want to give you guys a super safe space to try this for 5 days, with the deal being that if you absolutely hate it, you can totally just go back to the old way, because the old way is not going anywhere. So why satisfaction school? Again, 5 days of learning and then trying it out. So I want you guys to think to yourself, okay, I can do anything for 5 days. Let's see how this goes. And my hope is that most of you, if not all of you, will continue to do this long after the 5 days is over. So today is Monday. We're doing our live training. Hello, we're on the live training. Tomorrow is technically day one. Okay. The reason why I wanted to start tomorrow on day one is because I want you guys to have a weekend day trying this. So we'll go all the way to Saturday. So in order to be considered for this challenge and to get my feedback, you need to post on Instagram a single meal or food choice or something like that, like a snack or something that you're eating throughout the day that represents to you, based on what we're going to talk about tonight, what moderate looks like. Okay. Moderate is, we're going to talk about this a lot tonight. It's called what I call navigating the middle of a middle choice. not starving, not stuffed, not deprived, not binging, right in the middle. And you're going to share why. So you're going to use the hashtag satisfaction school so I can track all of your posts. And I want you to tag me at Jill Fitz so I can check it out. So that would be one post. Okay. So when I say post, I mean main feed post, because if it's not on the main feed, I'm not going to be able to find it with the hashtag. So it's a main feed post. If you want to give your friends and family a little heads up about what you're doing this week, that is totally cool. Make sure you tag me, blame me, whatever you want to do. I think in the past, especially having done a ton of challenges at this point, especially on Instagram, is that it feels really awesome and inclusive. Your friends and family are going to be inspired. They're going to be curious. They're going to be asking you questions about it. They're probably going to want to do it as well. And so I think it's really a service for us to show the people in our lives what healthy eating looks like. It's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect ever again. But that's the whole point, is I don't want you eating perfect. If you're eating too perfect, it's too depriving. And to me, at the end of the day, that always leads to binging. And so on day one, which is tomorrow, we're all going to start. I'm going to do it as well. Posting to Instagram, make sure you tag me and use the hashtag. On day two, which is Wednesday, same thing as Tuesday. On Thursday, same thing as Wednesday, right? So all the same thing. That's three posts now. And also on Wednesday, I'm going to do an Instagram live. Okay. So I want you guys to get this on your calendar. This is the only other standing appointment you have with me this week. So we're going to talk about some content tonight. We're talking about moderation, satisfaction, what that all means, what it looks like. And then on Thursday, I'm going to share with you guys about mindfulness. We're going to talk about mindfulness because I know that you're worried about going overboard. I know that you're worried to take the brakes off. I know that you're worried to not feel in control anymore. And mindfulness always, to me, is the absolute Mac Daddy tool. And I'm going to share with you guys exactly why. It's the thing that helps you put the brakes on when you start to find yourself, you know, going down the rabbit hole of snacking, the nighttime snacking. And like, you're like, I just can't stop myself. We're going to talk about how mindfulness can help you slow down time to make a better choice. So on Thursday, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, show up on Instagram. You're just like, if you're on Instagram at the time, you'll see me go live, that little circle, you click on it, and then you can just watch at that point. And if you have questions, of course, you can ask them there. It will be archived after the fact if you can't make it live, but we're going to have a second discussion just to follow up on tonight's discussion. Friday is day four, same exact thing as the first 3 days. And then your last day will be on Saturday. And I wanted to, again, do a weekend because the whole point of moderation 365 is that it's 365 days a year, right? It doesn't matter if it's a weekend, doesn't matter if it's a holiday, doesn't matter if it's a vacation day, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're eating to the same level of satisfaction every day. And satisfaction, like we're gonna talk about tonight, isn't stuffing yourself. I think oftentimes we think, okay, I'm gonna be satisfied. Well, Jill, I don't know about you, but it doesn't, donuts will satisfy me. It's like, does it really though? I mean, I know when I was binging all the time, I was deprived, then binge, then deprived, then binge. That wasn't satisfying. That was stressful. And so satisfying is like that. If I had to put it into terms, like a mantra, it's I'm good. You know, I could probably have some more, but I'm good. You know, it tastes really delicious, but I think I'm good. Could I have more? Yeah, but I'm good. Right. And so we're going to have that conversation. So I wanted to incorporate a Saturday as well, because I don't want you guys thinking, well, it's Saturday. It's like cheat day, or like it's, you know, reward day or whatever. You should be having healthy cheats. I hate that word, but like healthy cheats throughout the week. So that come Saturday, it doesn't feel like you need a reward. It's just another day that you eat the same. So that's essentially what I wanted to do. So we're going to include that as well. Maybe let your friends and family know what you're up to. So to me, jumping on Instagram stories or jumping on, you know, your Facebook page or your Instagram, you know, main feed post, or even in your first post tomorrow, just be like, I'm doing this weird thing, blame her. And then just, you know, kind of tell them exactly what it's all about. But I really think that you'd be surprised that a lot of people in your life would feel very inspired. So for every share on Instagram, up to 5 shares, that's an entry into a drawing for prizes. So this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. I want to incentivize you because I have some really kick-ass prizes and I'm so excited. So the first is doing 6 weeks of one-on-one coaching. So this is normally a $400 value with a certified moderation 365 nutrition consultant. This is literally someone to walk you through this method. This is like having a personal trainer in your pocket. I'm so excited. This is a $400 value and you guys get it 100% free if you win this drawing. The second is a package of my favorite protein bars and shakes. So all the things, these are questions I get constantly, like what protein bars, what protein shakes. I don't love to cook. I think most of you guys know that. I do not cook a lot. So for me, I'm really into healthy convenience items. Now, I don't need all protein chars, bars and shakes, but I do have quick, you know, on the fly, like bags of salad and like, you know, I'll have like a cauliflower pizza, like a frozen pizza, like I'll do stuff like that. So for me, I love having some of these things on hand that I know are, you know, good macros. They taste delicious. Believe me, like I'm not going to send you some shit that doesn't taste good. So protein bars and shakes, $150 value. And the last is doing a nutrition audit right with me. So it's directly working with me for a session. And we're going to do a complete nutrition audit on all of the things that you have going on, your dieting history, you know, what your goals are, where you're at with things, some of your biggest struggle times, some of your biggest triggers throughout the day and throughout the week. And we're going to really dissect those in that call. And that's normally a $375 call. So I'm going to put you guys in a raffle and these are going to be the three prizes. I cannot wait. Again, up to five total drawing for the prizes if you want. This training tonight is coming straight from the Moderation 365 certification. So I teach people how to teach these methods to their clients. So you guys are getting tonight literally what I'm teaching my professionals. So everything here is part of, it's a little piece taken from the actual certification. So I'm pumped for you guys to experience that. And lastly, I do want to get this on your radar. I know that we have some professionals on the call. Maybe you're not a professional, but you want to learn this more in depth for yourself and maybe potentially help other people in your life. This coming Friday, I'm going to be opening enrollment for the Moderation 365 Nutrition Certification. So if you are thinking about potentially getting certified in these methods or even just doing a deep dive for yourself, keep an eye out for that. It's going to be open just for a couple of days. You guys are going to get a huge discount because you're here. And it actually starts on March 1st. So we're getting started. I think right now we have 19 spots left. We're taking up to 50 and I think 31 spots are already taken. So all that's going to be opening for you guys on Friday. So keep that, again, zero obligation, but for those of you who are interested in that, that is going to be the next step. Okay, so intro to Moderation 365. What is this concept? For me, this is a solution for unlearning a lot of the bullshit that we have learned over the last number of years, number of decades. So I know for me, like I've been dieting for like over two decades now, and most of you guys probably have too. And it's one of those things that it's something we start to do when we're young and we don't even realize like how much it's affecting us until later. And we're like, why was I doing that? We're dieting before we even know it, right? We're dieting before we even know it. And so all of a sudden we have all these rules and protocols and food narratives and all of these things that we're like, how did I get here to be so obsessed with eating? I'm like constantly counting, measuring, thinking about food. When can I eat next? How many grams is that? How many calories is that? Before we even know it, there's no one saying, hey, that's not normal. You shouldn't be thinking about food all that much. And so Moderation 365 can help us sort of debunk and sort of start to unlearn some of those old narratives. So we're going to talk about some of the things, especially in the certification. We talk a lot about old food narratives, especially that were handed down from like parents or old childhood stuff and things like that, and start to unearth how we can switch the narrative on that to actually feel in our power, to have like a real mastery over eating. And so moderation is a solution to help you reduce the amount of time that you spend thinking about food and the food obsession that you have. So especially if you have a history of chronic dieting. So when I say chronic dieting, I don't always mean like competition diets or something super strict. You could have just maybe done Weight Watchers a bunch of times, or maybe you've tried different protocols and just hasn't worked for you. And you know, as humans, we like diets. Diets feel organized, right? They've actually shown in research that people are more excited to start a diet than they are to actually do one. That makes sense though. If you think about it, we're like, oh, got my food list, going to the grocery store, got my, you know, got my recipes, got my macros set. Like we're just excited. It feels organized. It's like this little glimpse into this transformation that we might be able to make. And then a lot of times, most of the time in practice, it is so hard. Because, and it's not your fault. And I think if there's one thing that I can give you guys, and I wish that someone had said this to me 10 years ago, it's not your fault. Like the fact that you fail or have failed at diets isn't your fault. It's literally just a product of extreme dieting. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the process. There's something wrong with the process. And I know I've said this before, and maybe on social media, but think about it this way. If I want to write a diet book, okay, I want to write a diet book and I go and I get a publisher, I get a book agent, I get a publisher. The first thing the publisher says to me is, what's the hook going to be? Okay. Because they're going, how can I market this thing? So I'm going, well, I mean, you just kind of like eat moderately, like forever, like until you die. And they're like, yep, not good enough. What's the hook? So all of these diet books that get put out there, they need a marketing hook. So that's why oftentimes it is extreme things. It cuts out whole food groups, eliminate this, detox this, because that's the only way the publisher thinks they can sell books, right? There's no like just regular eating like actually works, but that's not going to sell books. And so we're bombarded with all of these marketing things. And it's not your fault, by the way. It's good marketing, right? It's good marketing. So don't blame yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have willpower. Doesn't mean you're not disciplined. It doesn't mean you're not good enough. It just literally means we're bombarded with marketing shit that we think we need to be doing. And we deprive and deprive and deprive to the point we would binge. And that's just how it works. And so if you're here, that's probably somewhat of your experience. So I want you guys to remember that as we move through, the goal is to minimize the mental energy and actual time that we spend thinking about food so that you can have a life. I remember at one point being at the gym 3 times a day, sometimes 2 to 3 hours of cardio, counting and measuring. I was craving chocolate every second of the day. I remember that. Like every second, I was like, I'm constantly hungry. And people be like, even you're hungry. I'm like, are you serious? I'm hungry all the time. What are you talking about? I was so deprived. My physiology was so deprived. And psychologically, I was so obsessed. It was the only thing I could think of. And so to pull yourself out of that is a process. And that's why you guys are here, because you know you have other things in your life that you want to give your attention to. Learning to eat the same on Saturday, you do on Monday. And then a series of tactical tools that can help you navigate the middle with food, never following an all or nothing approach ever again. So it's quantifiable. We'll talk about some of the big problems that people have with moderation in general. It is quantifiable, but we're not counting macros. We're not counting calories. We're not counting points. We're not counting ounces or grams or anything like that. We're counting cues like hunger and cravings and satisfaction and fullness and energy. So this is satisfaction school. So the number one piece of biofeedback, so that's what this is called, biofeedback, that I'm wanting to pay attention to this week is your level of satisfaction. We'll talk about exactly what that feels like and what that looks like here in a second. I want you guys thinking to yourself, how satisfied do I feel, right? That's going to be a cue for you throughout this week. Another word for satisfaction. So anytime I hear moderation, I'm going to say this multiple times, moderation isn't an amount. It's not an amount. So when someone says, well, I mean, moderation, like then you can just eat whatever you want and whatever quantities you want. It's like, that's not what we're talking about. Moderation isn't not an amount. Moderation is a feeling, and that feeling is satisfaction, and satisfaction cuts to the middle, not deprived and not stuffed, not deprived, not binging. Okay. We'll talk about that here in a second. So the theory overview, why this exists, because obsessive neurotic eating starts with deprivation. It does not start with overindulgence. So what I mean by that is, think about it this way. If I'm playing tennis and I'm in a match, and I'm swinging the ball, and then there's someone else over there and they're swinging it back, and both of us are hitting about the same amount, right? About the same amount of force. So I'm hitting, they hit, I hit, and we're just going back and forth, and it's easy, right? So this is kind of how we think about deprive and binge. These are two opposite extremes. So we're either super deprived or we're binging, right? These are two opposite ends of the spectrum. So when I'm just deprived, then binge, like when I'm just like volleying back and forth, everything is even. What if I just hit really hard one time? Okay. The other person on the other side is going to have to hit back even harder because I just messed up the dynamic. Same thing with eating. The first time you go on a diet, the first time you go to that deprivation place, maybe you want to get really lean. Maybe you want to get up on stage. Maybe you just want to lose weight for your vacation, whatever it was. And there was some drastic weight loss there, right? That's me just messing up the status quo with the tennis ball. So I hit and that's like deprivation. It's the first time. And now overindulgence needs to come back over on top. So it can't just be normal eating anymore. It has to be indulge. And now that's really strong. So I got to come deprived on the other side, right? And so can you see how this can escalate? So it doesn't start, no one just like binges out of nowhere, right? That's not a thing. People binge as a result of feeling deprived. People binge as a result of being deprived. So with that being said, then the goal is to not be deprived, right? If it starts with deprivation, the goal is to not be deprived. And not being deprived doesn't mean stuffing yourself, right? It's mindfulness. We'll talk about that on Thursday. And so the all or nothing approach begins when someone diets for the first time. Think back to the first time you ever did some sort of extreme diet. You probably had a normal relationship with food before then. Then all of a sudden you're like, I'm doing Atkins. That, for me, that was Atkins. I was like 18 or 19. And Atkins, right? I'm just going to do this thing. And it was the first time I had felt deprived. And I got results. My body did change. But now all of a sudden I'm in that pattern. Overindulge, deprive. And I go to myself, the only way I can get back in my power is to diet again. And now this is a negative feedback loop. And that's how we get in. So it starts when someone diets for the first time. It doesn't just like suddenly someone just binges out of nowhere. They binge for a reason. And that reason is deprivation. So it perpetuates feelings of scarcity. This may be the only time I can have this. So I need to do it upright. Urgency. I start my diet on Monday. So I need to have all my fun eating done before then. This is what I call the Sunday night roundup, right? We know we need to start on Monday, no excuses on Monday. So I'm just going to eat all this stuff tonight just to get out of the way because I know I have to start tomorrow, right? So it's this feeling of urgency, like I might not be able to have this ever again. So I have to have it now. And again, we wouldn't be conscious of this stuff, except like we have to talk about this stuff because it's so common. Illicitness. Well, I can't have that food in the house. I don't trust myself around it. So saying that I need to just get it out of the house, it's a good 1.0 strategy, but at some point you're going to be around that food. If it's French fries or cookies or sweets or cakes or whatever, at some point you're going to be around that food. So a less fragile version of that would be to start being around it and being okay and being able to manage yourself around it. So to me, something when I'm like, I can't be around that, all of a sudden I'm putting this food up on this pedestal, right? It's really illicit. I can't be around that because I can't control myself around it. It's not a way to live. So let's do better and let's actually solve that relationship issue. Moralization, I was good or bad, or I fell off the wagon, or there's only one right way to do this. I hear people use this language all the time and I totally get it. To me, one of the tenets of moderation is that there's no judgment. It's just about the process. So if you're scared of cookies or fries or chips or whatever it is, you're scared to have them in the house. The practice is mindfulness, right? Taking some, putting it back, taking some, putting it back. I don't care if you polish off the whole bag. What I care about is how you polish off the whole bag, because over time that mindfulness practice helps you stop and put the brakes on. And so there's no good or bad to me. I'm like, being hungry is normal. You're human. Having cravings is normal. You're human. Don't judge it. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you're human. And that's just intel, right? That's just clinical intel. I'm hungry now. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I'm having a craving. It doesn't mean I'm a weak person. It's just literally what's happening. And so there's no real moralization. There's no judgment. To me, I'm like, I'm fine with any of that. It doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're weak or you're undisciplined or anything like that. It just literally means like, cool. Like, let's watch ourselves, like up here, like looking down, what's going on. Dieting perpetuates the idea that eating needs to be hard and you have to sacrifice for results. And that's absolutely not true. And then of course the expectation gap, which is I should be doing better. I should know this stuff. I shouldn't be eating this. That word should is the worst word in the vocabulary, right? It's like it instills shame, guilt, and self-loathing. And all of a sudden we're spiraling. Well, I'm so bad anyway. I might as well just finish all of this. And then all of a sudden we're mindlessly eating. And so the expectation gap is the gap between where you currently are and where you think you should be. So if you're like, I'm hungry, I shouldn't be. That's an expectation gap. It's not true. It's just made up. And so closing that gap is like, I'm hungry. Cool. What's the solution here? Not I'm hungry. I'm bad. I'm hungry. What's the solution? I wonder why I'm hungry. But that would be another clinical question to ask. So it's a little bit more as humans, we like control. Okay. The rules, when we have a set of rules as a personal trainer, I can't tell you how many times I heard a client say, just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it. And I was like, I wish I could. I can give you a perfect list of foods, right? Only eat these 20 things ever. But at some point you're going to want something else. At some point you're going to be around something. At some point these foods aren't going to be available. So instead of just following the rules, even if they're the most perfect rules, it still doesn't mean implementation, right? Information doesn't equal implementation. I can give you a rough list of food rules and tell you to just do it. But we all know it doesn't work that way. I can have the information, but I can't implement. And so rules makes us feel organized, right? We crave that level of certainty. We love a good diet. We love a good set of rules. To me, it's like, oh, yes. However, that's not how life is. You guys know, and you guys have kids know that things don't always work out the way you want them to. And so instead, I think a less fragile way is to work on things like mindfulness and moderation and watching ourselves and stuff like that. And it takes a little bit longer, right? It's not a cut and paste solution. The problem becomes that dieting makes us dumber because it replaces our feedback, our natural biofeedback, things like hunger, cravings, fullness, satiety, satisfaction, energy, all those things with rules and best practices. So for example, I think at one point it was like, maybe it was Oprah or someone was saying, don't eat after 6 o'clock at night, right? Maybe you guys even have that rule. Don't eat after 8 o'clock. Don't eat after 6 o'clock. And I'm like, fine, but what if you're starving at 9? Should you just go to bed? Like, is that the solution? Like, to me, don't eat after 6 o'clock at night is an arbitrary rule. It does not take into account your unique biofeedback. It's just white knuckling. It's after 6 o'clock, so I can't eat, right? It's white knuckling. It will always come back to bite you in the ass. It always will. It always comes back. That's not benign. That white knuckling is not benign. So a best practice might be don't eat after 6, or always fast for 16 hours, or drink a gallon of water every day, right? These are best practices, but eat every 3 hours is an example. When I eat every 3 hours, I'm looking at a clock and I'm not taking into consideration, am I even actually hungry right now? Or maybe I'm hungry an hour later, not 3 hours later. So when I say it makes us dumber, it literally takes us out of our body and says, I know you might feel hungry. I know you might have cravings. I know you might feel like lethargic, but I don't really care. Here's some rules. Just follow these, right? It totally takes us out of our body. So what moderation does, it attempts to get us back in and understanding some of these things. And just because we're hungry doesn't mean we eat with abandon, right? That's where mindfulness comes in. Just because we're craving something doesn't mean we like eat a large Hershey bar. It means we might have a couple squares of chocolate and then see how we feel. And if we want to have more, we can, but at least now we're starting to ask the questions, right? Do I feel full right now? Oftentimes most people don't register 80% fullness. They register like either 0% fullness, like I'm starving, or stuffed into their clothes, 100% fullness, right? So getting back to like, where am I on a scale from 1 to 10 right now? Could I eat more? Sure. Do I want to eat more? Maybe, right? Like all these questions, these are tiny questions, but these are mindfulness questions, which we'll talk about on Thursday. And so best practices, I always say, are only as good as their ability to be consistently implemented. So I can give you, again, perfect food list, perfect foods right here. But if you can't implement them, then what are we doing? And that's not a knock on you. That's just your natural psychology, your preferences, your schedule. You know, if someone tells me like, I need to eat, I don't know, for example, I don't love fermented food. Like I'm not a huge fan of like pickled stuff and all that kind of stuff. And people are like, it's so good for your gut. I'm like, it's fucking gross to me. It's disgusting, right? It might be the best thing I could do for my gut, but from a peace of mind standpoint, just a life perspective, I'm not going to eat that stuff. Cool. So it's totally okay. Like it's fine. There's another solution. There's a workaround. Taking into consideration your own personal preference is extremely important. Traditional diets have a terrible track record. So over 95% of people who diet and lose weight gain it all back within 2 years. Now that's fine. Like to me, I'm looking at Weight Watchers. Like Weight Watchers had a pretty good track record, right? But most of us gain back that weight at some point, whether it was a year later, 5 years later, whatever, we probably gained it back. The question I always ask people when they do like Whole30 and stuff, and it's fine, like Whole30 has its market and whatever, but they're always like, yeah, I love doing Whole30. It just resets me. And I'm like, cool. But like, if it was a final solution, you'd probably still be eating that way, right? Right? Because that's the thing at the end of it, like at some point you're going to be around sugar and caffeine and alcohol and whatever. So instead, a more resilient approach would be able to handle those things without overdoing it, without eating to abandon. And then over 60% of people actually gain it all back and more, right? They gain it all back and more. 60% of people who lose weight gain it all back. Because putting dieting miles on your metabolism isn't benign. We all know this. And when I was a competitor, every single time I did a show, I would get lean for the show. But every single next show I did, I had to diet even harder. I had to cut calories even more. I had to do even more cardio to get the same look. My body never responded the same way as the first time. because I was putting miles on my metabolism, right? I was wearing it down. It's not benign. It's like tires on a car. The more dieting miles, the more deprived than binge, you wear down the traction. Your metabolism literally just is not as responsive anymore. And so we have to take all of this stuff into account. So I want to introduce you guys to the strategy tonight. The first thing I want to share with you guys is called the DIS, or deprivation indulgence scale. So I always try and think about these two things as opposite ends of the spectrum. We've talked a lot about this already tonight, that feeling of deprivation, right? It has to be perfect. So this would be, maybe you're starting a diet on Monday. Maybe you just had a coach give you a food list. Maybe you're doing a competition. Maybe you're doing some sort of diet for, you know, to lose weight for some event. And we feel like we have to be perfect. So it's like, oh, it's Monday. I can't have anything off plan, right? It's like, I have to be perfect on Monday. I have to be perfect. And it's depriving. You might even feel good the first couple of days. You might even feel good the first like week or two, but at some point, we all know what it starts to feel like. We start to get hungrier. We start to have more cravings. We start to get irritable, right? All of these things, maybe our sleep is disrupted. Maybe we can't stop thinking about food. Maybe we just feel like obsessed with food all the time. Those are signs that your physiology is under distress, that we're actually feeling like we are exhausting our physiology, and not to mention psychology. So that's on one end. The other end is indulgence. Overindulgence, I ruined it. I'm not perfect. Well, I might as well just go all out. And this is such a weird like thing from human psychology, because I'm not even judging it, because I used to do it too. But I remember being like, okay, well, if I'm going to have pizza, then I'm just going to eat all the pizza. If I'm having a glass of wine, I might as well have the entire bottle of wine. If I'm having a piece of chocolate, now I'm eating chocolate, so I might as well just finish the entire thing. It makes no rational sense, but in your head, you're going, well, I already blew it, so I might as well go all the way. This is actually called in psychology research, the what the hell effect. We go, well, I already had some, already ruined it. What the hell? Might as well go all the way. And it doesn't make sense like rationally, because we actually like we're taking in way more calories than we would have to, but it's for some reason we think if we're going a little bit, we might as well just take full advantage and go all the way. And so most of us, when we diet, then we go off diet, then we diet, then we go off diet, we ping pong back and forth, right? Between these two extremes. And what moderation does is it says, let's choose a food that isn't depriving and it's not overindulgent either. It's right in the middle. It's satisfying. So the key is to navigate the middle of the DIS every time we sit down to eat. What's a moderate choice here? How can I, if this is more of a dieting choice, how can I make it more satisfying? So I'll give you guys an example. I've used the example in the past before. I had a client years ago who was so excited to start. And this is when I was doing competition prep and kind of getting into the moderation stuff. And she was like, you know what? I blew it over the weekend and I totally hear what you're saying, Jill. So honestly, I was like, you know, I'm just ready. I'm ready to be like healthy and to be on at this time and to like be on the wagon. So this morning, this was on a Monday, she said, this morning I woke up and I had egg whites and I had some steamed spinach and I just feel so good. I'm like, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, I know that that feels healthy and it is healthy, but also I don't know about you, but like, I need a little something, don't I? Like I need a little something, egg whites and sauteed spinach. Healthy, but I don't know about you, but like at some point I'm going to be jonesing for a little something. So I remember just thinking, well, is there something we can just add to that? Like a little bit that would make it a little bit more satisfying. So that by the time you got to lunch, you were going to also make a healthy choice, but you didn't feel deprived, right? Because meals don't happen in isolation. So if I have a really depriving breakfast, I'm going to get to lunch and I'm probably going to be less likely to want to eat super healthy because I'm like, I just want a little, just a bite of a cookie. Just give me like a little, maybe I'll just have some chips, right? And then by the time I get to dinner time, I'm like, oh my God, I'm exhausted from dieting, right? Just give me the wine or whatever. So if I had a little bit more satisfaction in that first meal, so what would be an example of making that first meal a little bit more towards the moderation, middle of the road? Maybe I could add like a yolk or two, right? Instead of just whites, maybe add an egg yolk. What about a little sprinkle of cheese on my omelet? What about a little butter with the veggies? Maybe a little oatmeal, right? Something to take the edge off. And this is hard sometimes because especially if you're coming out of a binging episode or an overeating episode or a weekend or bad weekend, you might feel like, ah, I don't even want that crap. I just want to eat super healthy because you don't actually feel like you need a treat or a sweet, right? You're so disgusted. I get it. But what I'm asking you to do and what I'm asking you to trust me to do is to have a little something on Monday. Have a little something on Monday. Show yourself a little bit of satisfaction on Monday because what you choose to eat on Monday will affect what you choose to eat on Tuesday. If I'm super deprived on Tuesday, right, on Monday, I'm going to be less likely to want to choose healthy on Tuesday. If I'm super depriving on Tuesday, I'm going to be less likely to choose healthy on Wednesday. Can you guys see how this moves? So literally, when you think about it that way, if I'm too strict early in the week, I'm more likely to binge on Friday. Okay. If I'm too strict on Monday, I'm more likely to binge on Friday. What if I just had a little bit of something extra on Monday? And then I get to Tuesday and I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, I'll have a little something today. Then on Wednesday, I get to Wednesday and I'm like, I'll have a little something on Wednesday, right? Then I get to the weekend and I'm not feeling deprived. I'm not feeling exhausted from dieting from the entire week. I'm not feeling like, oh, I can finally relax with food. Thank God. Because the problem is when we do that, we end up eating way more calories on the weekend than we would if we just had a little yolk in our egg on Monday. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about taking the edge off earlier in the week, earlier in the day, so that by the time you get to the weekend, you're not jonesing. You don't feel like you just need a treat or a sweet or a reward because you've been having little, what I call nutritional relief. You've been having these little nutritional relief or nutritional gimmies throughout the week and you're good. I just want to eat the same today. I like how I eat. That's the best feeling. So there will always be an equal and opposite response. When I deprive myself, I will always binge. Then I binge and I go, well, I got to clean it up. Go back to depriving. So can you guys see how we can easily just ping pong back and forth from these extremes? But if I cut to the middle and I make a moderate choice, all of a sudden now I'm like, I'm steady, right? I'm steady. I'm good. I'm comfortable. I'm satisfied. I don't need to deprive. I also don't need to overindulge. I feel good, right? Remember that phrase, I'm good. We can never win a battle of wills against our physiology or our psychology, by the way. So again, when you're overindulging and when you're binging and stuff, that's not a character flaw. That's literally just a physiology that is starved and a psychology that's obsessed. It's not your fault. Highs and lows in our eating perpetuates food scarcity, right? If I say like, oh my God, this thing's going away. I need to eat it all right now. Can you guys see how, if I think a food is off limits at some point, I'm going to want to eat all of it right now because it's going away at some point. Moderation 365 says, you know what? Anything's available anytime. You don't need to finish it all right now. I could have a bite tomorrow. I can have a little bit on Wednesday. I have a little bit on Thursday, right? I can have it anytime. So I don't need to, all the urgency and scarcity of having to eat it all right now kind of starts to dissipate. It puts foods on off limits lists, right? Makes them more illicit and confirms to ourselves that we can't trust ourselves. That's a shitty way to live. That sucks. I don't want to be so stressed every time I go somewhere to be like, what's going to be there? Oh my God, I can't trust myself. Ah, there's so many sort of like workarounds and things like that where people say, well, you know, you should definitely eat before you go and make sure you have enough protein and like all these rules. But I'm a big fan. We teach this in the certification of exposure therapy. Like go to a cocktail party hungry, see how you do, right? Like just see how you do, be clinical with it. Go to the grocery store hungry and just have the experience. I know that's so scary to think about, but we can't prevent every single little thing. This is life. So I want to get you guys equipped to be able to handle any situation, anytime. And we do that through some of the mindfulness stuff we'll talk about on Thursday and exposure therapy and stuff like that. And all the things we teach in the CERT. Okay. So your job this week is to navigate the middle between feelings of deprivation. I want you feeling like I'm good. Like I actually feel satisfied. Could I eat more? Sure. Is this delicious? Yes. But I'm good. And feelings of overindulgence every time you eat. So this way we're sort of evening out those highs and lows in our eating so we can start feeling satisfied and not stuffed. To me, that was my mantra, especially when I was getting started. My mantra was literally like satisfied, not stuffed, satisfied, not stuffed, satisfied, not stuffed. Because to me, I knew what stuffed felt like. It felt stressful. And I knew what depriving felt like. That felt stressful too. Satisfying felt like I'm good. Could I eat more? Sure, but I'm good. and it helps us even out those highs and lows. So we talk about moderation. There's a lot of sort of criticisms around moderation, and you might have even thought to yourself, ah, that can never work for me. And I totally get it. And, you know, maybe it will end up not working for you, but I don't ever think it can't work, because it's just like regular eating. It's not like there's no like right way or wrong way, but the complaints about moderation are actually its strengths. So when people say, well, you can't quantify it, it's like, yeah, because it hones mindfulness. It's not an amount. It's not like a specific amount. It's like, I get to learn about my body. So it's not how many calories, how many grams, there's nothing to count. And that to me is the strength of it. There's nothing to count. So I get to ask myself, how am I feeling right now? Am I hungry? Am I craving something? How full am I? How satisfied do I feel? What's my energy like? Because I'm not counting stuff. If I'm counting anything, it's biofeedback. You get to learn about yourself. This is the funnest part about it, is like you find these like really weird tendencies about yourself. And so one of the things for me that I've come to, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've learned about myself over time, but like a couple of things. When I just have eggs in the morning, like I'm starving. if I have eggs and then I'm like, I'm starving like 30 minutes later. But if I add something to it, like if I have like veggies with it or some oatmeal or something, like I'm good. But I can't, if I have eggs, it opens up my appetite. And that's maybe counterintuitive. So you think to yourself, well, it's protein, it's fats, it should keep you full. But for me, it doesn't. And so there's all these like little idiosyncrasies that we have to learn about ourselves. And of course, we do that over the course of the 12 weeks in the certification as well. But it's helping, you know, yourself feel those things again, get back in touch with biofeedback, and then seeing eating as a practice. I think oftentimes you've heard me say this before, I don't know why with eating, we assume we're just supposed to know it. I think it's maybe because it's common sense. People are like, well, it's just food. Like it's common sense. You know what's right. Like it is. However, you're not going to be good at it yet. There's all sorts of inputs. There's your stress. There's your sleep. There's your protein. There's your decision fatigue throughout the day. There's your willpower battery. Like we have all these different considerations and we're not supposed to be perfect at this shit. Right? It's a practice. There's no right or wrong or bad or good. It's literally just me up here looking down on my choices going, huh, that's interesting. I wonder why I did that. And then I just debrief and I get clinical with it. And it allows for me to feel like, okay, this is something like I really want to do this forever. I don't want to do any more diets. That's why I always say with moderation and mindfulness, especially, it's work you never have to do again. Like once you learn mindfulness and like you get it, it's like just something you have. It's a way that you just interact with the world. So there's not really like a perfect way to do this. It's literally just like you watching yourself and seeing what you're doing and then asking the questions like, oh, that was interesting. What was that? Am I stressed? Am I, haven't been sleeping? Like all these things input how we choose to eat. I think sometimes we turn our brain off. I teach this in the certification. It's called brain shutdown mode. Brain shutdown mode is like when we just don't want to think anymore, right? Maybe this happens at night. This is when we start like jonesing in the kitchen and we kind of like, we're just eating everything. Maybe on the weekend, we're just like, I just want to have my food. I want to eat it. I don't want to think about it. Right. And then what happens is when we don't think about it, don't think about it. And I don't blame you for not wanting to think about it. Cause sometimes we're so mentally exhausted. We just want to turn our brain off, but it always comes back at some point. And it's like, maybe it's Monday morning and we're feeling, oh, I can't believe I did that again. Right. We have the guilt, we have the shame, we have the self-disgust and the remorse. And so when I can remember that this is just a practice and it's just clinical, I can stay mindful. And mindfulness is not hard. Once you get it, it's actually really easy. It's automated thinking. It's like automated. It's effortless thinking. But at first it feels really hard, but it's something that you never have to redo. And so you just find yourself not turning your brain off because you're good. You just are in touch with all of those signals all the time. And most importantly, unlike traditional diets, moderation does not have an amount. It has a feeling and the feeling is satisfaction. That's it. And so when you think about that, satisfaction to me is the cue. Okay, this is a middle choice. I'm navigating the middle. That's what this is. So what does this potentially look like? So for us who have a, you know, maybe chronic dieting history, for those of us who have done a lot of diets, maybe have gained and lost a lot of weight at times, or just feel like we have more of a neurotic sort of relationship with food, we know what deprivation feels like. We know what white knuckling it feels like. We know what it feels like to feel hungry all the time and craving all the time. We also know what overindulgence feels like. We know what binge behavior feels like. We know what those things feel like. Those are two sides of the same coin, right? Deprive, binge, they're extremes. And so for us, we represent these on the DIS, which we've already gone over, and the moderate choice cuts to the middle of these two extremes. So this is the easiest way, and I want you guys to remember this graphic, when you sit down, ask yourself every meal this week, is this a moderate choice? Does this feel like it might, I might feel deprived later? Like I'm going to be jonesing for something later. It's funny. So one of the, I think maybe you guys know this, but I use that OXO salad chopper, OXO salad chopper. It's like this big bowl and you make us put all the ingredients for the salad in there and then you chop it up. And people always laugh at me because it's like this huge bowl. And I'm like, dude, people are doing salads wrong. They're making like the, they're eating like stems and they're putting like lemon juice on it. And they're like, I hate salads. I'm like, no kidding. You hate salads. That thing's disgusting. So when you make a salad that actually tastes good, like it's like all you want to eat. You guys know what that is. That's like that mouth feel where it's like chopped and maybe there's something crunchy in there. And there's maybe a little like cheese on top. And like, there's a dressing that's delicious. Like everyone would eat salads if they actually like them. The problem is we're just doing them wrong. We're doing them way too depriving. And so, you know, when you're looking at a meal, you're like, yeah, I'm probably gonna be jonesing for something after this. Cool. Give yourself a little something now to prevent binging later. Give yourself a little something now to prevent binging later. So we're going to cut to the middle of those two extremes every time we sit down to eat. So another word for moderation is satisfaction. Satisfaction doesn't mean stuffing ourselves, because to me, that's not satisfying. That's stressful. We know what that feels like. You have to unbutton the pants. You're just like, oh, I can't breathe. Why did I do that? We know what that feels like. That's not satisfying. Sure. If I was like, hey, carte blanche, eat a dozen donuts every day. You'd probably do that shit for a couple of days. And you'd be like, don't give me the donuts. I don't want the donuts. Go give them to me. Cause that feeling is disgusting, right? It just feels gross. And it's not even that it is gross. It just feels the way it feels in your body, right? We know what that feels like. That's stressful. So deprivation is not satisfying. It's also stressful. I'm white knuckling it. Oh my God, just get to 3 o'clock. So can I have my chicken or whatever, right? That's also stressful. So satisfaction cuts to the middle of the DIS, and that feeling is what you should feel every time you sit down and eat. That's the goal. That feeling is right in the middle. So it's the mantra, it's the cue, it's the affirmation. To me, I sit down, I say, am I navigating the middle? Yes or no? So we do this by a tool called satisfaction factor, hashtag. I like rhyming. As you guys know, I like hashtags too. Satisfaction is cool. Satisfaction factor, and it's a scale from 1 to 10. And it's subjective because there's obviously no way to like objectively measure satisfaction, but it is on a scale from 1 to 10, how it feels to you. This is important again, because meals don't happen in isolation. So I need to know that this meal I'm having right now, I don't care if it's Monday morning, has a little bit of satisfaction so that I can prevent more and worse binges later. I'm gonna take the edge off now. And I'm gonna trust that when I get to lunch, I'm going to be good. I'm going to have another satisfying meal at lunch. And I'm going to trust that when I get to dinner, that I can handle it. Now, one of the things that happens when we talk about this, like giving yourself these little sort of nutritional gimmies throughout the day and throughout the week, oftentimes people say, well, I don't trust myself because what if I give myself that little cheese and I give myself those things, Jill, and then I still binge later, right? That's the thing, is like, I'm just going to conserve calories now because I know I always binge at night. But the problem is we need to make that trusting leap. I promise you it works, because I felt the same way. I was like, I remember at the time my ex-husband was like, Jill, honestly, I think like if you didn't just like eat this gross food, you probably wouldn't binge on the weekend. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm like saving calories now because I know I'm going to binge later. And what happened was over time, week to week, it got better and I got better and I got better to the point where I was eating the same every day. I was eating the same all day, every day. And that same was moderation. It wasn't binging. It wasn't a whole bunch of crap. It wasn't a whole bunch of junk food. It wasn't depriving. It tasted good. And all of a sudden I'm not thinking about food as much because I like the way that I'm eating. And so I know that that's a fear, but at some point you have to make the leap and you have to trust that your metabolism will auto-correct. It really does. It auto-regulates based on that. And as you start to practice mindfulness, you start to pick up those cues and be like, oh, look, I'm actually good. I'm like not nearly as craving as I normally am at 9 o'clock at night. I'm actually good. I can go to bed. I'm actually good, right? So over time, the mindfulness practice will help you identify some of that stuff. So what you choose for breakfast impacts what you choose for lunch. What you choose on Monday impacts how you'll eat on Friday. This is a preventative approach where we're constantly taking the edge off. Take the edge off a little bit. Take the edge off. I don't want you guys to push it to the point where you binge. Right? That's what we're doing. We're trying to pull it back a little bit. We're trying to take the edge off earlier in the week, earlier in the day. And that's really what satisfaction factor is all about. So how can you increase the satisfaction of your meals? Here's a couple ideas for you guys. So you can use dietary fats as condiments, or you can use dairy as condiments. So these would be things like a sprinkle of cheese, a little butter. Now, again, I know this is, quote, adding calories to your meals, but the idea is that we're having these calories earlier, so we don't have the 7,000 extra calories this weekend. That's literally what we're talking about, right? So instead of I'm going to not have calories now and then binge later, it's like, I'm going to have more calories now that are healthier. A little sprinkle of cheese, never hurt anybody. So that, and I'm going to trust that later in the week that I'm going to be more satisfied and I won't do the binging I normally do. And that's exactly what happens because you're, again, your metabolism autocorrects. So dairy as condiments, when I say as condiments, little like sprinkle here and there, put a little sprinkle on your veggies, something like that. Cream in your coffee is an example as well. Focusing on the taste that you want to experience, right? So for example, I love like sweets. And so sometimes I will make a baked good that, and I'll use like a, you know, like I'll use like stevia, or I'll use like xylitol or erythritol as a sweetener. So I won't just have a shitload of white sugar, but I'll have some, but I want something sweet. So I'll find a workaround, or I'll use something like Smart Sweets, which is a candy that's pretty much all fiber. I'll use Enlightened, you know, ice cream bars that are just a little like lower cal. They give me the taste that I want, right? The taste of sweet, but they're not nearly, they're like a moderate choice, right? They're a middle choice. It's not like, fuck it, I'm just having like, you know, six cupcakes or nothing. I'm going to have something in the middle. And so experience taste that you want. And obviously that helps you be in touch with what you actually want. A pleasant mouthfeel. Like I was talking about earlier, chopped salad, little crunch, a little smooth, a little frothy. I bought this hand, I posted on my stories yesterday or 2 days ago. It's like a little hand frother. I got it on Amazon for like $20. And so in the morning I will, and I'll probably share this week during satisfaction school, but I'll like warm up some half and half. A little bit. I'll warm it up in the microwave for 30 seconds, take it out, and I'll like use the hand frother. I'll froth it, and then I'll put it on top of my coffee. And it just gives me that like frothy, creamy mouthfeel. It's different, right? That's different than just pouring it directly into the coffee. Now that would be fine too. I'm not concerned about the calories here. I'm concerned about the ritual. I'm concerned about my experience of the food. And so that would be the mouthfeel that I desire. I love chopped salads. That's why I have the OXO salad chopper. That's why I always like, I love things like cabbage and stuff because I can chop it up and it gives me a little crunch. So focusing on the mouthfeel that you want, focus on the ritual that you want. So this can be sitting down and eating with a loved one. So I don't normally cook a ton, but my boyfriend cooks a lot. And so sometimes, you know, like if I have a long day at work and we haven't really seen each other, and then we'll like make dinner together and we'll like sit down together and, you know, like each have maybe a glass of wine and then, you know, just like eat together and like give ourselves a little cheers, a little kiss. And then it's just nice. Like it's a nice little ritual. So maybe eating with a loved one or increasing the volume of your food somehow. So for example, I do protein shakes with like a lot of ice, and I'll probably share this week as well. Ton of ice in the bottom. I just put a ton of ice and I use a Vitamix and I just make this protein shake like massive. Like it's not that much like stuff in it, but it's just like ends up being massive and it's so thick. And I just eat it with a spoon and it takes me like 45 minutes to eat it, right? So it takes a long time. That makes my mouth be occupied for a long time. So like, what are some ways that you can savor your eating a little bit more? How can you make it more enjoyable for yourself? Now, I'm not a big like slow down. Like you can slow down if you want to. That's not one of the things we teach in moderation, but you know, slow down and, you know, really taste your food. But mindfulness is more like around satiety and fullness and stuff like that. So ways that you can make your food ritual a little bit more pleasant, and then focusing on, again, alleviating a craving. If you have a craving, again, there's nothing wrong with you. What's the solution? Can you have some Smart Sweets? Can you have some, you know, like Enlightened bars, or what's the other one? Halo Top. Can you have like, they have so many different like low sugar, like chocolate bars and stuff like that. I use Lily's chocolate quite a bit. I mean, if you have regular chocolate, that's totally fine too. Have a couple squares, see how you do. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. We talk about mindfulness, but like, it's okay to have the thing that you're craving. It's okay to like, just watch yourself have a little bit of it. It doesn't mean I'm eating chocolate now. I need to eat every single chocolate item in the house. Have a little bit and assess, how are you feeling? Do you want more? If you do, that's cool. But like, at least take that 1 second to assess. And that's what mindfulness is, which we'll talk about on Thursday. And then eating to 80% fullness, again, is mindfulness, we'll talk about on Thursday. Incorporating nutritional relief. So this is what your homework is. This is going to be how you take the edge off all week. Your nutritional relief or your non-negotiables are things that help you achieve the same eating on Saturday that you do on Monday. These are little, again, nutritional gimmies throughout the week. Some of the things I just shared, like having a little cream in your coffee, frothing your cream, putting a little cheese, you know, having some butter, having some, I don't know, bacon, turkey bacon, right? Some like stuff like that, like charcuterie or whatever, like these little things that take the edge off. So we eat the same level of satisfaction every day. We don't eat the same foods every day. We eat the same level of satisfaction. And that level of satisfaction is right in the middle, right? Navigate, deprive, binge is right in the middle. So these food items, place them throughout the week to give you a sense of satisfaction, take off the feelings of deprivation, et cetera. These aren't like dieting foods, right? They're not going to be like these super strict, like egg whites. If you like egg whites alone, that's totally fine. But honestly, like I consider egg whites to be like a dieting food, right? Maybe these things that you thought you had to eat, but you don't even like them or you dread them. I remember this one time when I was dieting, I would have this one meal and it was celery and like a handful of almonds. And I dreaded the meal. I'd rather just not eat the meal. It was so disgusting. Like celery stalks. I was like, but I thought that's what I had to eat on this diet. And so those kinds of things. So it's not dieting foods, but it's not these like bin all out binge balls out cheats either, right? It's not like going to Krispy Kreme and getting a half dozen donuts. It's in the middle somewhere. So these non-negotiables will act as nutritional relief throughout the week. These are individual, but some of my examples are things like cheese, cured meats, dietary fats, again, avocado, butter, coconut oil, et cetera, protein bars, protein shakes, dark chocolate, alcohol, cream in my coffee, diet soda. I put an asterisk next to alcohol because alcohol has like kind of a bell-shaped curve. So having like one glass of wine can act as a sort of buffer, right? Can act as this like more nutritional relief. But maybe you sometimes when you get to like three glasses or four glasses, now all of a sudden your inhibition is lowered. And so your mindfulness goes out the window. Mindfulness goes completely out the window. So that's when we find ourselves like, you know, just crushing like McDonald's and going to Wendy's late night and stuff like that. So alcohol could be like one or two glasses, but sometimes you get to three and four, again, you kind of get into that just like total mindlessness. Diet soda, I also put an asterisk there because for some people it takes the edge off, for some people it opens up their appetite. So you just need to know that about yourself. Like, yeah, cool. I'm like going to have a little diet soda. It's going to give me that taste of sweet that I want. But for other people, it opens up their appetite and they just are jonesing for the rest of the day. So that might be something that's individual to you. You need to know that about yourself and you need to practice. And that's all that is. The goal of this is to never reach the point of feeling so deprived that we need to binge, right? Prevent more and worse binging later. So your homework, I want you to identify 3 to 5 nutritional gimmies for yourself and describe how you use them. So here's an example. I need to have a little cream in my coffee every morning or else I end up craving later. Like for me, this is key. Like if I, like I hate black coffee. I mean, I'll drink it if it's like the absolute only thing available. But for me, I will never give up cream in my coffee. Like to me, I'll use a stevia or something like that. I don't need sugar, but I do need cream in my coffee. It'll be half and half. So have what you want. And that to me is a non-negotiable, right? Because having a little cream in my coffee will prevent me from wanting to like jonesing for like 5 cookies later. That's literally what we're talking about. We're talking about these kinds of trades. Another example, I use a few squares of dark chocolate after each of my 3 main meals to give me the taste of sweet I crave and take the edge off so I don't crave more and worse crap later. So having a couple of squares, I know about me, I love having a little taste of sweet after a meal, especially if the meal is a savory meal. So I might have a couple of like little squares of dark chocolate, or I might have like a little piece of a protein bar that has chocolate in it, something to give me a little bit of taste. I don't need to have the whole protein bar just because I opened up the wrapper. I don't need to finish off the chocolate bar just because I opened up the wrapper, right? I used to keep like, sometimes we do have chocolate chips for baking, like up in the cabinet, and I'll just like go over, like put a, you know, grab a handful of chocolate chips and I'll like bring them back to my desk and like eat those. And I'll eat them like, you know, one at a time or whatever. And I just have, it just takes the edge off a little bit. Believe me, you're like, you can have a cut, like a handful or two of chocolate chips. It's fine. It's like, because that's all you're, that's your, what you're having, right? So we're talking about having that so that you don't have, you know, 5 large cupcakes later or eat an entire pan of brownies this weekend. Those are some of the trade-offs that we're talking about. So think to yourself, what are some of my non-negotiables? What are these things that just make me feel really satisfied and keep me from more and worse binges later? And you're going to post your meal or your snack or your choice or whatever on social media, and then tell me or tell us how this choice will help you feel more satisfied and stay the course better. Why'd you choose this? There are no wrong answers, you guys. I'll give you feedback if I feel like there's feedback to give, but for the most part, like, this is your version of it. There's nothing wrong with it. I want to see what these look like. This is all practice. There's no right or wrong. I will never like correct you or get mad or anything like that, but tag me so I can see them and then use that hashtag satisfaction school. Cool. Alrighty, that is all I have for you. Let's go ahead and open up for questions. Let's see, stop sharing my screen. Cool. All right. So from Sarah, was that good? You guys, I know I talk kind of fast, but was that made sense to you guys? Raise your hand if that made sense. Okay, cool. So we know what we're doing. If you have any questions about this week from a logistical perspective, go ahead and drop it into the chat section. I want to make sure that you're super confident. I know this is going to be out of your comfort zone, but that's the whole point, is take the next 5 days, see how this feels. If you absolutely hate it, there's plenty of off-the-shelf diets waiting for you. Cool. All right. So Sarah says, what's the best approach for hormonal cravings related to menstrual cycle? This is such a great question. And this is so common. And I'm the same way. And not only do I get cravings, but I get hungry around my menses. So first thing is, I try not to judge it. I know it's here. I know it's coming every month. It's just normal human shit. It's normal. I guess, like, if you're someone who gets your period, then it's normal. So I try not to judge it. And I do try to honor it. So I try to honor it mindfully. So I will remember I shared some of those workarounds, things like enlightened bar. So normally if I have maybe I'll have like one enlightened bar per night, I might have two, right? I try to just honor it. And I try not to, I use the word catastrophize. Catastrophize means like, oh my God, I'm eating more food. That means I'm going to keep eating more food forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll never be able to, like, I think sometimes we make like one small instance, like a couple days around your period, mean that like you just have this huge appetite that will never be quenched. And all of a sudden you're off to the races. I think try to not catastrophize, just honor it. Oftentimes I will just eat more volume when I'm having my period or when I'm getting my period. I just will honor it, and I'll try and honor it healthfully. So I'll just have like more salad or like a bigger omelet, or, you know, I'll just have like more food in general. And again, I don't judge it. For me, it always corrects, right? It doesn't correct if I try and white knuckle it. It just stays, right? If you don't quench a craving, it stays and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Just have the thing and have it mindfully. And so show up on Thursday and we'll talk about mindfulness as well. Addicts call it sabotaging. Yeah. I love having mantras. Good. Allison says, how long does it take from the metabolism to autocorrect, especially years from dieting? So it took me, it didn't take me very long. It took me probably a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, not a ton of time. And I know that's really scary because one of the questions that always comes up is, can you lose weight eating moderately? And if your goal is weight loss, it never has to be. But if your goal is weight loss, it's 100% possible, because remember, satisfaction is a feeling, right? So you need to be in a caloric deficit to lose weight, right? That's just straight up just energetics. You have to be in a caloric deficit to lose weight. You can still be in a caloric deficit and like the way you eat, because at the end of the day, that's really what we're talking about. In the Moderation 365 certification, we talk about, this is kind of like an attainment goal. If I want to gain muscle or I want to lose weight, I have to manipulate my portion sizes, right? I have to eat more, I have to eat less. But at the end of the day, the goal is always the same: be satisfied. And we talk about, when we put a client into a potential caloric deficit, we don't count, right? So we do it really strategically, and we don't count anything, but we take away things. And we don't take away things drastically at all. However, we also know the metabolism, it adapts really quickly. So we actually don't put anyone into a caloric deficit for more than a month at a time. And so, because we know that what's going to happen, if I put someone into caloric deficit for longer and longer and longer and longer, do you think that their physiology is going to be deprived to the point of wanting to binge? Absolutely. So I'm all about binge prevention. So I'm going, okay, how long can I have them in a caloric deficit? How small can I make the caloric deficit so that we can just go back to normal eating instead of binge eating? I don't want anyone going back into binge eating. So I'm like, I know that if I put this person under their physiology, under stress for too long, they're going to end up binging. And now all of a sudden we're off to the races, right? We're back to binge deprive to binge deprive. So the answer is yes, because moderation is a feeling. However, when we talk about the metabolism sort of making this shift and downregulating and auto-correcting, it can take a couple of weeks, it can take a month or two. Now, during that time, you might gain weight, you might lose weight, you might stay the same. I've had clients do all three. And by the way, you guys, and I teach this in the Moderation 365 store, when it comes to like weight loss or weight gain, most of the time people will stay in maintenance mode for this. Over time, they can lose weight, but it's done in a really healthfully way. So like you might lose like 5 to 10 pounds over the course of a year, but you keep it off. And that's really what we're talking about, right? Imagine doing that for 3 years in a row, you lost 30 pounds and you fucking kept it off. Imagine how many like diet, or think about how many diets we've done that never worked. Imagine taking 3 years and losing 30 pounds and keeping it off forever. Like that's kind of what we're talking about when you take this approach. So it is not a drastic weight loss approach. So if someone is like, can I use moderation to lose 20 pounds by next month? And I'm like, no, sorry, it's not the what we use it for. First and foremost, and it would be, and you guys get this, I hope you get this, as a coach, it's easy to lose weight. Just be in a caloric deficit, stop eating and exercise. It would be completely out of my integrity and completely irresponsible to do that to someone, because I know what happens on the back end. So without teaching them mindfulness, without teaching them about biofeedback, hunger, cravings, energy, understanding their own body and their own tendencies would be a huge disservice. So we can talk weight loss, we can talk muscle gain, we can talk all that stuff, but not until we do this work. So the Moderation 365 with my clients, the first 3 months is just foundational shit. Like just get good at eating the exact same. We don't even go into a caloric deficit unless we've evened out the highs and lows. And you have to start there. You have to start from a place of maintenance. You can't start like a weight loss journey from if you don't even know what's working. So the Moderation 360 stuff is foundational. And then after that, a lot of my clients and a lot of the girls who are certified in these methods help their clients lose weight and do it sustainably, but it's a slower process. It's a more responsible process and it's an enjoyable process. And that's sort of the promise. How moderation can help people that really need to lose weight. So a couple of you guys asked about that and I just answered it and you just said, thank you. That was awesome. What other questions do you guys have for me? Okay. So everyone clear on what is happening this week. This is our longest training. I promise you the training on Thursday will be a little bit shorter. It's super simple. I want to see your choices this week, one per day, max up to five starting tomorrow. It can be anything you want. Make sure that your Instagram profile is set to public or else I won't be able to see it. And you can put it back to private after the challenge. That's totally fine. Ashley said she has one more question. That's cool. So if you have any questions, you guys, after we jump off tonight, feel free to send me a message on Instagram. That's totally fine at @JillFit on Instagram. Just let me know where you're at with things. Again, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. Obviously, if you do participate, I like the accountability. I really do. I love the fact that I'm going to be able to give you feedback on your posts. You know, and again, it will never be like, you're doing it wrong. It's just like, cool. Like that looks good. Where'd you get that? Like, it'll just be more like, let's have a conversation. I want you guys to feel empowered that you can do this yourself long after these 5 days over. That's the reason why this course is here. And I honestly wish that someone did this for me when I was getting started. I had no idea what moderation looks like. I didn't know what that could look like. I was like, all I knew was strict dieting or like just binges that I had so much shame over. And I was like, why is no one talking about these binges? Am I the only one doing this? Come to find out, everyone's doing it because we're all just a product of this insane dieting. And so I want you guys to feel normal. I want you to feel like this is actually accessible for you, that you can actually do this. I want to lower the barrier to entry. And I really want you guys to make this shift and I want you to commit to it. And it should feel a little uncomfortable, but it shouldn't feel hard. It should feel a little uncomfortable, but it should not feel hard. Ashley says, how do you sell this with someone who's really motivated to lose weight, but wants a quick fix? I tell them that I'm not going to do that. I don't take them on as a client. I know it's harsh. It is harsh, but the marketing pitch that I make is what I just gave you guys. I literally say it would be out of my integrity to help you drop fat really quick because I know it does. We're going to be back here in a month, 2 months, next year. We're going to be back here sometime. And it's funny, like I still have plenty of people who are like, that sounds really great, but I just want to do, you know, keto or something. And I never would judge someone for that. I'm like, I get it. And like, again, diets are based on marketing. So the marketing is working. But I always trust that they're the back, because to me, this is a final solution. It really is. And so I don't like ever really, like, to me, I do sell Moderation 365 as a food relationship course. It's foundational. I don't tell you what foods to eat. I'll never give you a food list, nothing like that. It's how you interact with food. It's your own relationship to food. It's your own relationship with your body. And so many of us have dieted for such a long time that we forgot our body. Like, we forgot to even be in touch with it. And I always, as one of my biggest pet peeves when people say stuff like, just eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. If you have a long history of dieting, you don't even understand what they're talking about. You have no idea when you're hungry, right? All you know is, holy shit, I just ate everything and I hate myself. Like, that's the only thing you're registering. And so I really want to give people an alternative for this stuff. So we break it down. And I always say that this stuff's foundational. We can talk weight loss, all those attainment goals, after you have this mastered. It would be irresponsible to do anything else. But that's a great question. So, but if someone's like, I know, Jill, I know moderation, but I need to lose 20 pounds by next week, or like it's an event or something, I'm like, cool, you know, there's plenty of people who can help you with that. That's not this. And I'll be here when you're on the other side of things, when you're ready. Is that it? All right, you guys, thanks for spending this time with me. I do not take it for granted. I know that you have busy schedules, and I know you guys got to get to bed and do all the things for tomorrow. If you have any additional follow-up questions or any clarifications on things, please go ahead and message me on Instagram. We can chat that way. And I cannot wait to see your posts over the next 5 days. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna be doing it too. I'm gonna be sharing as well. And we're gonna have a lot of fun. Good. Thank you for all the thank yous. And I will make sure you guys get this recording soon. You're the best. All right, guys. I will share the recording as well. Yep, you guys will get that as well via email. Okay, you're the best. Bye, guys. Have a good night.